You are listening to the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Renovco, and Carl Loans, design expert and editor-at-large from Style at Home magazine, is joining us. We're doing something new today. We're talking design, and we're also talking home improvement. 514-790-0800. That is the number for your texts and also for your phone calls. Good morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So Carl and I go way back. We used to know each other from my TV days.
I know.
And you are here to provide design tips, right?
Yeah.
From very elaborate to very simple.
Very simple is always best. Mm-hmm. And I think also to come up with some decorating rules and ideas and tips for people that they can just grab and take away.
Yeah.
I always say what you're listening to and you remember will make you a decorating hero at your next dinner party.
Oh, there
you
go.
I want to give you a tip that you remember that you can share with other people.
Very good. Very good. So that is available for you. Listen, we're going to get to a question for Walter in just a little bit. But Carl, for you, one of the biggest things right now is we're changing seasons, right? Mm-hmm. We're changing moods. Can you give us maybe what the biggest trend is right now for fall in terms of decoration and design?
I think for fall, people are really excited about being seasonal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in Canada, we generally don't decorate for fall, decorate for Thanksgiving, decorate for winter. We just go warm weather, cold weather, right?
Yes.
Decorating. And now we're starting to accessorize our homes a little differently, maybe paint a little more often because we know it's an inexpensive way to change the mood of a room. And we're seeing a lot of darker, richer colors come in with upholstery fabrics. You know, there's this fabric called boucle. It's like a bumpy sheepskin sort of fur type thing. It's on everything.
It's on everything.
It's on everything.
Okay.
At every price. And ultimately, that is the big thing that's great for fall and winter because it's cozy and it's a little bit nubbly and all that. And then go for dark colors. So maybe paint a small bedroom a dark color and turn it into a den. You know, maybe the basement where you only watch TV can be a nice deep olive green or a really rich color that you would like to live in.
That we'll be asking you questions about the basement in just a bit, of course, as many people are rebuilding their basements. Walter, you've been taking these questions for weeks now after Debbie and then that water main explosion. I do have a non-related flood for the first one question for you in the longest time. It says, Walter, if you have an electric heat pump, can you close the chimney on the roof to avoid water coming out? That's your first question.
Yeah, if you have an electric heat pump, well, you don't need a chimney anymore, so you can just condone it. Important if you have a fireplace that you're condoning at the same time is that you just don't condone it from the top, but also from the bottom. There's something called a chimney balloon that you can install, so you don't have any heat escaping the house. But you definitely don't need a chimney for an electric furnace. That's a good thing.
I'm looking at both of you right now, and you know what pops into my mind is that it's seemingly different fields, but it's not. You put the finishing on the houses that you build and fix. That's how that works. This is how this marries together. Again, 514-790-0800. Start texting us your design questions for Carl, your home improvement questions for Walter. Another quick question for Walter here we have. I'm installing a new bathroom faucet purchased in 2008 but never opened. The faucet comes with the standard stainless steel cross-linked speedways. Should I be concerned that perhaps the rubber interior on the speedways, he believes it's rubber, is dry or old or cracked because I never opened it? Should I replace the whole thing?
So the quick answer would be no.
No, don't replace it, or no, don't be concerned.
Don't replace it. I mean, if it is dried up, you could see, you're going to see like cracks on it and what have you, but I don't see it because a lot of these faucets are in stock for a long time in warehouses, and they don't just get manufactured. It's not like hot bread, right? It's not like it comes from the oven to your mouth kind of thing.
That's true.
So it's there for years. So I don't see any problems. You could visually inspect it. If you see any dryness in the rubber, you could get it replaced, but I think it's an overkill.
And don't spend the money if you don't have to right now.
There you go.
Yeah. We've got a question for Carl that's coming in on the text line. This one is really interesting because it is about dorm rooms. Dorms. Well, this is a little bit complicated because they're like, what should I be spending my money on to update my dorm room, look, design-wise? Everything? Nothing? A couple key things to keep in mind, maybe?
Look, there's three concentrations in a dorm room. There's sleep, there's study and there's organization.
Right.
So if you said, I need to buy three things, I would say make sure that you have a great mattress topper at a comfort level that you like, because they're all different. And let's face it, the mattresses in dorm rooms are usually not all that comfortable.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Make sure that the pillow that you have is a really good one. I think that's really important because that's your sleeping partner. And then organizing. Get those over-the-door hooks that you can hang so that you can hang knapsacks and sports equipment in your purse and your knapsack and all that kind of stuff. And then study, right? I mean, your dorms for study. So maybe you need a small desk or a proper chair sometimes, because ergonomics are really important when you have to sit for 4 hours to do an assignment rather than slouched over on your bed doing it, which is nice at times. So really look at your bed for comfort. Look at organizing with getting things up off the floor.
Yes.
Because if a floor is clean, you're halfway to organization.
Right. The organized space is the organized mind.
Yep.
But university students, I don't know. I was just a mess. But it's true, though. It does start with the visuals.
Absolutely.
You can see.
Yeah. Get it up off the floor. You'll feel more organized. Have something comfortable to sleep on. You'll get a better night's sleep. And make sure you're sitting properly to do your studies.
And get more than one set of sheets, guys, because university... dorm rooms. You need to wash those. Reminder to the university students that hygiene is always a plus. Wash those sheets. Dario, do we have time for the first call? We do? Okay. We have, who's been waiting here? Maria. Maria has a question. Good. How are you, Maria?
I'm good, thank you.
Take it away.
I have a painting question. Some of the paint on my wall is around the radiators is peeling off. Now, I know it has to come off and be sanded and whatnot. What do I do to put on that I don't have this problem again?
How old is your painting?
It's when was the last time you painted? Probably about 8 years.
Oh, 8 years. Okay. So, I mean, typically the best paint you want to use would be a super acrylic paint because of the elasticity that comes with it, right? So if you are losing, if you use just like a latex type paint, what's going to happen is it's going to be more prone to cracking, especially next to radiators, because we don't have that rubberized membrane in it that will allow it to contract and expand. So whatever you do, just make sure that you have scraped off all the loose paint. And if you do super acrylic paint, you should be good for a while.
Does that help you out?
Yes, it does. I have another small question. On my garage roof, I'm elderly, so I can't climb to really see. It looks like there's a little patch of moss. It's not leaking anywhere or anything like that. And how would that be removed?
Okay, so the first thing you want to look at is why do you have moss? So probably you're having pooling on your flat roof.
It's not flat. It's sloped.
Oh, it's a sloped roof. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And why do you have moss? Have you looked at the reasons why you have moss?
Well, I have a lot of trees around my property, okay. So I don't know if that would be a cause. Something blew on it and didn't go off or whatever. Okay. I don't know.
So you don't have any area with like any pooling of water that could happen?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
All right, because that's always a worry for us. If you have any pooling on the roof, you don't want to have that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's many things you could do. There are products that you could use for moss cleaning. I could send you off air a couple of names that you could use.
Right.
Obviously, you have to go up, unfortunately, on the roof to have it done.
Well.
I don't know.
We don't want Maria to go up there.
No, I don't climb anymore.
This is clear. Maria, thank you so much for your call. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Vernovco, and design expert Carl Loans. Welcome back. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, joins us. And a special twist, a new surprise, Carl Loans, design expert and editor-at-large of Style at Home magazine, is also here to take your design questions. So we've got you covered. We've got the actual structure of the building and the way it looks all right here on the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-800. We're taking your texts and your calls. And we've got George on the line. And George had water in his basement. George, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I basically, I'll explain as best I can so that you have a good idea of what I'm talking about. So I have two adjoining triplexes in the Montreal area. The basements are being redone so that we can, actually have a tenant in there on both basements. They're adjoining basically two separate buildings, but they share a wall. So they used to be playrooms. Never really had any water come through the floor, but we had some water underneath the foundation, well, through the foundation and underneath the windows. So we got a French drain. They did an excavation a couple of years ago on the outside, put the French drain, put Delta membranes on the outside. That was fine. I've never got water since then. But they started doing renovations and breaking up the slab, redoing the drains in the current slab. We don't have like 40, 50-year-old drains leading out to the city sewers. And a slab was poured. They started the frame this summer. We ended up stopping for construction holidays. Before the storm, I had gone to check things out, and it was July 30, July 31st. It was dry, right? The weather was dry. We didn't get a lot of rain. It was a good week or 10 days before the storm that we had, where everybody flooded. But in the center of the slab, all of a sudden, we started getting water where we never got water before. Mm-hmm. So it was just a little bit strange. I asked the contractor. He said it might be coming from, let's say, the chimney. However, we never got water coming in that area from the chimney ever before. It just, sounded a little bit weird. Then we got a lot more water when we had the tropical storm.
So what do you think's going on there, Walter?
Are you asking us where the water is coming from? Is that what?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. But what I will tell you is, what potentially can come in. So, as the perimeter is, because I asked him if it can be coming through the slab because he poured a new slab.
Yeah.
The thing is, he broke up. They broke up a lot of the old slab. I'd say probably a good 70% of it to retrieve and put new pipes, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
George,
let me ask you a question. Do you have backwater valve? Did you install backwater valves
They did. But they poured a slab. They poured a new slab on top of the old slab, and I don't think there's any three-quarter draining stone or anything like that. So I'm wondering if there's any hydrostatic pressure possibly.
Well, it is with the tropical storm Debbie. That was a very common problem. The land got saturated in most areas, and water was coming from underneath the slab, especially in areas where the landscaping is not. Well done, or there was no gutter extensions where the French drain, although new, got overloaded, and then you would have water that goes under the slab with hydrostatic pressure and was pushing through the slab itself. So in a case like this, one of two things come to mind. Do you have a sump pump?
Yes, there's a sump pump. And don't forget, I had water, not a lot, but I had enough water that was noticeable before the storm, a good 10 days before the storm, in the center of the slab, which I never had before. Mm-hmm. Okay. with the old slab. So now we have almost like 7 or 8 inches of slab because the slab was put onto the other. So I'm just wondering,
Look, the idea behind it is we're hoping that in the new slab that they poured, they installed a geotextile, that they put, the gravel and everything else. That we can know how they poured the new slab, but that will be what the logic will tell you, right? So if that's the case, I can't really tell you if you have a sump pump and you have a backflow valve and you've done a new French drain. There's not much more you could do, except if you're not sure how they poured the slab, you could maybe do a core test and see how it was poured.
George, thank you so much for your call. Okay, we have Carl Loans here, who is the design expert, and we're talking about basement. We're talking about basement damages, and a lot of people are going to be in the process of rebuilding and investing, right, and spending more money on ways to sort of make that basement look and feel like it's livable again. Mm. Without breaking the bank, what are certain things that you can think of design-wise, decorating-wise, that you can bring in at not exorbitant costs?
Well, it's finishing the basement now, so we can live in it and have things there. So probably the main things would be flooring. Mm. What sort of flooring are you going to put there? And you want to be smart with that. I mean, anyone who's just had a flood doesn't want to put a type of flooring in that possibly could have water damage again.
Right? Yeah, Walter's always a proponent of the epoxy, right, you say?
Well, I mean, that's a big thing right now. Epoxy finishes on the slab.
And it looks nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun. If you want to make it look like a skating arena. Come on, it's so shiny, right?
So what would you do?
Well, things that are easily replaceable, like broadloom carpet, let's say. If it gets wet, it can easily be removed and new or something else gets put in. People that want things like hardwood floors, you know, choose wisely. Make sure that those cores are underneath and make sure that there's a lot of water protection underneath, because that's where water comes in dampness comes in through concrete.
Yeah.
So you have to put a vapor barrier there and stop that for a lot of choices.
But furniture-wise, Walter is always warning about mold, right? Whatever has cloth-based and is affected by flood. There's no mold-proof furniture unless you're sitting on a steel chair.
Well, you could bring your patio furniture in.
You want to sit in the...
No, that was a joke. Okay, Montreal and everybody else around the world, it's a joke.
It's a joke.
Well,
no,
it looks like we need one. No,
you know what? Choose the outdoor fabrics are phenomenal these days. They look just like indoor fabrics. Ah. So really look at, is this a double duty fabric for indoors out? It's also amazing because if you have little kids, it doesn't stain. Even the foam in furniture these days can go outside. Mm-hmm. So it's a little impervious to dampness, which is really what you have to consider for the mold. And ultimately, the fabrics can look as decorish as you want them to look, mm-hmm. right? So don't be, you know, if you want to be practical, you could, I mean, and there's beautiful outdoor furniture that you could put in your basement, mm-hmm. to be honest.
That's true.
Really, when you think about those beautiful big rattan sofas with big cushions and stuff, it could work well as a playroom or a TV room or a rumpus room or whatever you want to use it for. Think about also, as a decorator, I would say, if you have a little trim around the bottom of the wall and a little one at the top and around your windows, paint them all the same color as the walls. It'll actually make the ceilings look taller because you're not taking away the height of the wall color.
Yeah.
And it unifies the room to make it feel a little bit bigger.
So outside furniture, inside.
Yeah. Or the outdoor furniture, fabrics.
Fabrics.
Yeah. Fabrics. Yeah. The only thing when it comes to carpet, we have to be very careful from just putting it on the slab. If that's what you're going to go with, because that's not code anymore. So we want to make sure that you have some type of a subflooring to kind of cut the humidity that's coming from the slab, you know, touching the carpet, because that will create mold spores. Mm-hmm. So if you are going to go with a type of a flooring, make sure it's not cellulose-based if you want it not to be affected by mold.
All right. More of these design and home improvement tips coming up, 514-790-0800. Send in those questions. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. It is time now for your CTV News Update. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey, president of Vernovco, is here to take your questions, as well as Carl Loans, design expert and editor-at-large of Style at Home magazine. We've got you covered from the structure of your building to what's going on inside. We're going to start with a question for Carl. It says, Carl, I'm using a rich, solid color fabric on a living room sofa and two matching chairs and a large floral print on oversized floor cushions, as well as coordinating solid colored throw cushions on the sofa. What pattern fabric should I use for two bergère chairs in that same room? Another floral, stripes, iCat, plaid, something else? Let me know.
So every room needs a balance of pattern, whether it be for your wallpaper, your carpets, your sofas, your chairs, whatever. Every room needs a solid. She's got that covered off. Every room needs a floral, or I call it a curly.
A curly.
You think about the curly designs. It could be leafy, flowery, you know, paisley. And then every room needs a stripe or a linear. So she already asked about stripes for the Bergère chair. Bergère chairs tend to be kind of curly. They're sort of French-looking fancy chairs. A stripe would help to modernize it and probably clean it up a little bit. So stripes are great.
Yes, go on.
You only have one floral pattern. If it's a large floral pattern, you could also add a small floral pattern into the room, maybe on some draperies or something else as well.
You don't want it to look like someone threw up flowers in your room.
No, but you don't want the same pattern size.
Yeah.
You want to have different proportions. And you could do tiny, tiny floral that from a distance doesn't even look like floral. But the idea is mix it. You want round, solid, and stripe.
Curly. I like the use of curly. The term.
Curly. It's easy to comprehend.
There you go. So big news, and Walter's going to talk to us about this. Both of you actually can jump in on this one. There are new subsidies being added to the city's Rénoplex program, which is basically there to help people out post-Debbie. The importance, we were talking about filing that claim with the city, that today was the deadline for that. So if you haven't done it, I think you were saying you can do it online.
Just do it online, and that way you don't have to get any lineups or deal with anybody.
Yeah.
But just get it officially registered. Then you're done.
Yeah, then you can get access to something like this. What does this mean, Walter?
I mean, this is more for the preemptive stuff. So when you if you don't have a backwater valve, there will be a subsidy for that. You have the new waterproof doors, garage doors for downslope driveways, the gutters, anything really, sump pumps, anything that could help in the next tropical storm. To avoid, you know, having damages or maybe decrease the damages in your basement, because we don't, like, depending on the caliber of the natural disaster we have. Example, in this particular case, we've seen people that had an inch of water next to someone that had 4 feet of water.
Mm.
And when you ask what happened, you notice that the guy next door have a sump pump, he have a backwater valve. So, yes, he was impacted, but not the same level. So there are ways to kind of help, not prevent, because I don't think we can 100% prevent a natural disaster, but I will at least minimize your risk at that. So the city will jump in. They will give you certain subventions with certain percentages for, you know, for each job that you're doing, and it will actually be all stated for you.
Are you guys do you both get the sense that in terms of rebuilding and restructuring, redesigning at this point, where are people at in their heads? Because we're talking about these subsidies. Is everyone building in an efficient manner? Are we trying to make it so that we're preventing the next disaster? Or is it patchwork jumping?
Well, there's two things, right? There's cleanup and let's get the water out of here and get things dry again. And then there's what do I need to prepare for the next natural disaster, like Walter just said.
Mm.
So being really smart with that. It's really about let's get the mold out of our houses. Let's make sure that we're safe again. Then look at the long-term and investment. You do the same when you decorate.
Mm.
You know, you move into a new place. It's like live with your old furniture for a while, but buy a few accessories. And then later on, it's time to change the bigger pieces, right? Well, in this case, it's a little more important. You got to get that cleaned up.
You got to get it cleaned up, and you have to think again to sort of climate-proof the base. Can we climate-proof the
base? You cannot definitely climate-proof it, but there are a lot of things that could be done that will... I mean, look... Tropical Storm Debbie was, I'm hoping, an exception to the rule. Because if we get a storm like this every year, it's a problem.
Mm.
And then, you know, when I start talking about not finishing basements anymore or not having basements at all in new homes, if that's really going to be the new trend.
No basements.
Hopefully it's not. Yeah, I mean, look, there are certain countries that have weathers that, you know, for them, you know, Florida, I don't see a lot of basements in a lot of homes because of the weather patterns, right? So I'm not saying this is going to be us, but I'm saying is we have to start looking at what's coming. I haven't seen a storm. I've been doing this 30 years, and I have not seen a storm like that. We've seen something similar in the sense of 70, 80 millimeter, and yes, some homes were impacted, but never to that caliber. So let's just hope this was the exception so we don't exaggerate everything. But there are standards. I mean, you know, the building code is there to help people understand what an old home requires to be updated to today's standards. So when we talk about a backwater valve, we've been talking about this for years and years and years, and some people still haven't installed one. So now maybe it's the time to say, okay, you know what? it is going to happen. Let's install one because we don't want to have sewers in our basement. As simple as that.
Yeah, well, Carl was just saying that Toronto was also hit with what? That was the most expensive flood a month and a half ago?
It was the biggest natural disaster in Canadian history for the amount of dollars that it caused. And it was horrible. And I was here for this one in Montreal where we're talking from.
Yeah.
And it was bad as well, right?
Yeah.
And they were a month apart. It wasn't part of the same flood.
Yeah, it wasn't part of the same system. It was not Debbie.
No, Debbie was another disaster.
Yeah. And it's the same situation over there.
Yeah, and people had to then prioritize. That's a really good word for this, right? Like, get yourself cleaned up, assess what's wrong, but then plan for the future too. If you can, if you can get some subsidies from the city, make sure to document everything. Talk to your insurance company as well. Just see what they require so that you can have insurance.
Yeah. So you were talking, people were underinsured.
A lot of people, the vast majority of people were not insured or very underinsured. I mean, we've seen basements that are 1,700 square feet fully finished that had $20,000 in coverage, which is nowhere near where it's supposed to be.
What's the comfortable number?
Well, look, there are insurance companies out there that can give you full value. You pay more for it, but you have full value for coverage.
Mm.
And I've seen those policies, and it's great because, you know, it will cover you as much as your house is worth.
You should be looking at about $250 a square foot.
$250 a square
basement.
Foot?
So if you have a 1,000 square foot basement, you know, to be really safe, a $200,000 insurance on that or $250,000.
For the basement. People don't think like that. Not for the basement.
But
yeah.
Walter's talking about these pumps and all these things you need. And, you know, like that's all going to cost money.
Right? Yeah.
The other thing is we have to also look at contents. You know, we have the problem with most basements. There are also storage space for us for all the extra furniture we have.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more value there than meets the eye. If you just look at, you know, years and years, you know how many people I've met that they had three homes that were, they moved, the father passed away or the mother passed away and they have their in-laws and, you know, all kind of things accumulated. So there is value to this. And then when you start throwing it out, you say, oh my God, this is valuable. This I cannot replace.
Or if you're an interior designer and you have a shopping problem,
yeah.
My basement is my storage store in the basement. And, you know, I had a small flood years ago, tiny little bit of water. And that was my lesson. Every time I saw one of those wooden skids outside, I brought it in and it leveled everything up three or four inches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And things now sit on top of that so that I'll probably, the stuff at least, is not going to be affected by water.
A very good tip there. Okay, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. Send in your questions for Walter Assey, president of Renovco, or Carl Loans, design expert. Welcome back. Quick mention here to take us with you wherever you go. Stay informed and up to date wherever you go with the iHeartRadio app. Breaking news from CTV, up-to-the-minute traffic and weather, along with in-depth interviews and compelling conversations from all your favorite shows here on CJAD 800. It's all free and at your fingertips. The iHeartRadio app. Download it today. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, and Carl Loans, design expert and editor-at-large of Style at Home magazine, are here taking your questions, 514-790-0800. This question is for Carl. Carl, good morning. We need lots of help. Our main bathroom was renovated many years ago when ceramic tiled floor and walls were in style. Any ideas of how I can bring it up to date without removing the tiles, which I think could be a big job and quite costly? And yes, can we have any suggestions?
Ceramic tiles are still in style. It's usually the look of ceramic tiles.
The color, maybe?
Style.
Yeah.
Color is the first thing that dates any room, right? So she may have dusty rose tiles, ceramic tiles from
1980s,
right? Every color dates itself in a room, especially with those permanent things like tiles that we want to live with. Avocado fridges and stoves, you know, the yellow toilet and sink, right? We know when all that happened. So look at your ceramic tiles, and there's two things you can do. You can, for a short term, paint them.
You can paint ceramic tiles?
There are paints that adhere to ceramic. There's a little prep work around that, but you can do it. The second thing you can do is and I don't like to do it, but is to layer over top of your ceramic tile. So the trend tends to be much larger formatted tiles, like I'm talking 2 feet by 4 feet or even bigger. And if you think of them as panels, and if they can be adhered to a secured wall, then you're basically covering over your existing.
Question though, will there be little air bubble pockets that can cause problems?
There shouldn't
problems?
Be. I okay. mean, the way it's all about the prep work for yeah. that. Probably you're going to skim coat the existing ceramic tile so that all that grout little area is filled in, and then you're basically gluing something on top. You know, we see those bath fitter
things commercials,
all
yeah.
the time. They use an acrylic plastic essentially around the bathtub. That works. So it's easy enough to do. That's one solution. But again, you want a weekend project, you can find the right paints to do that. You scuff sand, you prime the ceramic so that paint adheres to it. And then you have to use the right type of paint in order to do that. Paint store will tell you all that.
The paint store. And you're okay with if you do the prep work.
There are specific primers you would have to use, and then you're going to apply the paint on top of the primer. Panels, there are also composite panels that you could use that are thin and they are waterproof. If you're going to put where you want to be careful with putting tile on tile is that if you're going with a bigger tile, the bigger tiles are usually thicker, so you might run into problems with your plumbing fixtures. Right. So if you have a shower faucet that is indented, or you have a niche, or you have anything like that, that might cause you problems. Or even your bathtub can be impacted by the thicknesses, or your vanity because of all the plumbing. So those panels tend to be thin in profile. They look like ceramic. They have a faux finish, and easy to install. And it's a lot cheaper than porcelain tiles as well. Yeah. Don't forget the big tiles are heavy. So. You have to
find the really thin ones. That's yeah. Ultra thins.
Yeah. That's correct.
We're going to take a call. We've got Sam on the line, and Sam has a question about draining. Sam.
Yes. Hello. My question is, I'm seeking a suggestion and a recommendation. I went to go see 6 townhouses, and they're all stuck in one building per se. None of the steps are completed. And I was told the reason why the steps weren't completed is because there's a drain underneath the steps. I'd like your comment on that, please.
I'm not following. What do you mean the steps?
And the front drain? Steps, do you mean?
Yeah, so the primary steps going into the front door of each of the units.
Okay,
the steps are not completed on the bottom. And underneath those steps, supposedly there's a drain.
An outdoor drain.
An outdoor drain.
Yeah.
Does that
so the steps are like an open concept, right? Where you can see in and around them, and there's
no
air.
No, it's like they're not finished. The bottom step like wasn't finished around.
Oh. Okay, but it doesn't make sense. Even if there's a drain, I mean, why would they put the drain where the steps are if the drain needs to be accessible? Why are you going to parachute yourself from the roof to go into the house? I'm not following.
Okay, no. They constructed these townhouses. Mm-hmm. And each of the one building houses is 6 townhouses. So there's 2 townhouses per one step per two townhouses per 2 addresses.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went down that block and there's 36 townhouses. So there's 6 blocks and there's 18 steps.
Yeah.
And all of those 18 steps going from the beginning of the block to the end of the block, all of the steps. The last step is not done, which means that and I was told by one of the tenants that underneath those steps that go to your front door, there's a drain there.
Wait, do you mean that there's no last step? What do you mean it's not done?
It's not completely done to the bottom. So
there's a
hole.
Okay.
So you're saying it's higher than the other steps. The first step is made to be higher because you have not really, you can't pour another step in that, right? Am I correct?
No, you cannot. You can seal it.
I don't know about a drain. What you might be talking about is a bonhomme, what we call is the shut off of water from the outside to the city. Is that what you mean?
No, because you can't get into there. There's like a 1-inch gap on all sides.
Okay, so what is your question, though?
So I was wondering, what is your question about? Do you think that's odd?
Oh, obviously I do. I mean, if you don't have a first step, what are you going to do? You have to do it to be a gymnast to get into your apartment. So there's something that's definitely not making any sense in this.
Do you think that it's a safety guard for outside water not building up against the foundation of the townhouses, and this drain will help to keep it going away from it?
I wouldn't think so, because you see, anything that is 5 feet away from your foundation is considered to be safe as far as water seeping in.
Oh,
and the
okay.
steps jetting out will give you that.
Good.
So I don't think, I just would inquire a bit more about this. I'm sure there's a logical explanation. I would love for you to call us back and tell us what it is, because
yes.
it's just stumping me.
Sam,
right now.
You're ending the show with a mystery here. Thank you so much for calling in. A big thank you to Walter Assey, of course, president of Ronofco. And Carl Loans, his first time here on the show, design expert and editor-at-large of Style at Home magazine. Thank you to all of you for your calls and your text messages.